Hey there, thanks for joining us again. Welcome back to Tales from the Jungle Cruise, Episode 4. Now tonight we're sitting down with the infamous, and I do mean infamous, Skipper Joey and Skipper Trevor. Now if you want to equate the different eras of the Jungle Cruise to eras of U.S. history, then 02 and 03, the summers of, they were a little bit like the Wild Wild West. OGs were loose. Skippers were also loose, but not much has changed there. And in a lot of people's minds, the skipper was kind of a larger part of the show than maybe before. So this was a renaissance era where the park was really starting to heat up again. We had a lot of repeat AP guests, and the guest compliments flowed like cheap champagne in the VIP rooms of Adventureland. But with great power comes great smartassedness, and I would be remiss if I didn't inform you that your episode tonight is a little different than what we've done before. We still pay reverend respect to the Jungle Cruise of old, but we do so with a bit more tongue-in-cheek and maybe a bit more of an adult tone than we have in the past. So this one is strictly off-limits for the little kiddies in the audience, and for older listeners who might be easily offended, this is a pre-warning that this time we've gone just a little blue. So, welcome to episode 4 of Tales from the Jungle Cruise, an episode I like to call Blue Monday.
Seasons.
Yeah. All right. So we just need to be slightly more like focused in our speech patterns, but you don't have to be like right on top of it.
Okay.
So
you don't have to look.
Can I?
Yeah.
My hello.
Can you just go down on the microphone?
Yes.
No. That's dang it. Welcome to horribly inappropriate ways to start your podcast.
Oh, it started.
I learned this when I went to the Yale Recording School in Oxnard, which was a strange place to put a recording school. But welcome to the Tales from the Jungle Cruise. Episode number 4 now, and we're sitting today on the beautiful manicured lawns of Forest Lawn Cemetery, moments away from Marilyn Monroe's death place, with the famous skippers. Joey's already laughing.
They can't see where we're at.
I know.
They don't know we're in the bathroom.
Kyle, you just told a lie.
That's a
Did I tell
lie.
A lie? Yep. Damn that. So skippers Joey and Trevor, probably of all the skippers that worked at the Jungle Cruise, you guys were two of them.
And, that's very true.
Yeah.
Factually accurate so far.
Yep. Well, I'm one for two now. Huh. One lie, one. I actually was thinking about a game called Trivial Lies, where we'd start with a trivia, like a bit of Disney trivia, and we could just, you know, put something out there like Disney trivia, like
In what year did Alice in Wonderland come out?
What year was it?
Which, she's lesbian?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It was on the Ellen Show.
Yes.
And it was 1999.
It was.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It's a good year.
She was old at that point, however.
Yeah, she didn't have that dress anymore that poofs out when you fly down hallways. She had a wheelchair.
I'm not even going to go there.
No,
what we were talking about earlier, the impacted uteruses.
Oh, yeah.
See, I was going to go there, but I don't think that's appropriate
right
now.
So my Disney virginity getting popped. Since apparently this one is going to have a much different theme than when Benny and Kaz and I sat down together. I remember in 2000 when I hired into the resort that my first tour group stopped at the in-between, And the tour guides were, you know, we had lunch, and I saw Alice come backstage and lift her skirt up, and out of one garter pulled a pack of smokes, and the other garter pulled a Zippo.
Yeah.
And at that point, my Disney virginity was well gone.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that reminds me of, like, one of the greatest moments of my life. 110 pounds, backstage, Jasmine comes back. It's just me and one other guy. Jasmine comes back from the Oasis show, the Aladdin's Oasis show, with her bra undone, just holding it. Mm-hmm. And she goes, she points at me, can you hold my microphone wire down as I fasten my bra? And they said I was passed out for at least 45 minutes.
Well, that's funny because I was on stage at the jungle exit. And there, Jasmine had leaned over to give a kid a hug, and the kid wasn't paying attention, mm-hmm. and reached up and grabbed with a hand and pulled Jasmine's top completely off. The best part of it was within like a nanosecond, the genie behind her put his hands directly over any incriminating parts.
Such a selfless act.
And then turned and walked her off stage to the point where there was no... I mean, it was like one of those moments that, you know, was choreographed that I wonder if they practiced.
They probably planned for some kind of contingency if, you know, if there's pants dropping, if there's bras snapping. They've got to.
Every other Disney princess has, like, the spandex that goes
right.
from the
Jasmine
body.
Is authentic.
Not that I've studied this to some extent.
Of course not.
Being a youth at Disneyland.
But there's one changing room. Where, no, I'm just kidding. There's a hole in the wall. Okay.
There actually was a Ariel who got let go because she got implants and would not fit the costume anymore.
Oh.
Which was just a...
That's sad, because who watches parades?
Yes.
Kids and their dads.
That's right.
Dads, something. Kid on the shoulder.
Disneyland used to, like, there used to be sexy women.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
In the shows and stuff. I mean, yeah. Not that they aren't now, but, I mean, it was blatantly sexual.
Right. It was hired as as entertainment.
Like the Golden Horseshoe. They had
right.
the can-can
sure.
dancers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not so much anymore.
No.
They used to hire, from what I heard, they used to only hire, like, USC song girls to work storybook.
There was like, a blonde cult
yeah.
of mm-hmm. storybook performers.
That was, like, the Aryan Nation over in
yes.
Fantasyland, which was really... I guess
yeah,
maybe a fantasy to some people.
Right, but it works because it has that little cottages and...
The Panzer tanks.
It is
and
very
rolling
industrial.
Through.
Yeah, you know. So
yes. far we've covered impacted uteruses, bras on princesses,
yep.
and vague Nazi overtones in storybook land.
Yeah.
Well, let's lead into the big question that I ask everyone who sits down for the podcast. How's your rehire status?
Should have it.
This is Joey talking. I have rehire status. I would never go back, though, because I worked there once, and the second time around wasn't as great. So a third time, I don't think would solve anything.
Yeah, it would just keep on spiraling.
I think it would just go down. There's nothing you can go back and, you know, recover.
Are you allowed to say how you left the last time? Or is that against the rules?
I don't know.
We do have to respect some level of
right.
the NDA.
Because
I'm sure the NDA actually covers princess bras, but I think we'll be okay on that one. So.
Yeah, I was not in the Disney spirit.
Okay.
Done.
There you go. That's nice and vague.
Yeah. Well, no, I was not feeling good at the end. It was just not fun anymore.
It didn't have the same.
Didn't have the same deal.
Because we worked together again. Because we both got pigeonholed to Indy.
Right.
I
rehired into Jungle Cruise, but got Indy, and then Indy. It was fun for a while, but I wanted a change, so I went to Finding Nemo when that one opened, and I was on the opening crew for Finding Nemo, and sounds really fun, but you'd have to just drive a submarine around in a circle, and the trips are 15 minutes long, and it's very claustrophobic, and you don't know you have claustrophobia until you're in a submarine with just a bubble around you.
You had like 300 guest compliments by the end.
At one point, I was in the little employee newsletter that says how many, you know, if you've hit a certain level of guest compliments. Maynard is always above us, but I had 300 at one point. And when I rehired back in, I was he was asking me interview type questions like how do you this and what happens when a guest does this and blah blah blah. But as he was listening to me, he was just scrolling through page after page of my guest compliments. Yeah. And he said I was going to hire you before you even said anything.
That was kind of my boat too, where they picked up the phone and they called the area person, said this person's really enthusiastic about coming back to Jungle.
Right.
I'd like to put him in the area even though there's no positions, and they slid me over. I've kind of recapped this on other podcasts. I got hugely lucky in going back because I didn't go into Jungle right away.
Mm-hmm.
And my ego had a little time to get back into check.
Yeah.
Because, and not that, you know, when in my mid-30s I was a real arrogant. I think I had more of an attitude at Jungle than I deserved the first time around. And it was nice to kind of calm it down. Went back to Jungle and then ended up doing university, which was amazing.
Right. And it was even better than you...
Yeah.
You know, could imagine it, you know, what you wanted originally. I had the same problem where I wanted Jungle so bad, and I cried like a little baby when I didn't get Jungle Cruise, and then got to work Indian, got to work Finding Nemo, which I never would have done, you know, any other situation, and enjoyed them.
And that's the, I think, one thing about hiring into Disney is you get gifts where you don't necessarily expect gifts to be had.
Yeah,
so.
I'd agree with that.
So one of the things that I always like to kind of go over is how did you get involved with the company in the first place? Because, you know, we all have our Disney stories about how we get, you know, in and hired. So Trevor, what was your...
Well, I'd always wanted to work Jungle Cruise since I was a little kid. That was like the ride I always wanted to work. And so the second I graduated high school, it was just not even a question. Like, I'm driving up to Disneyland, I'm going to work. Because I lived in Carlsbad about an hour south where Legoland is now. And I showed up in like a white, I couldn't have been more of a beginning, the transformation from beginning to end. When I showed up at Disney, I had like a white suit on, a Star Wars tie, like slicked over hair. I weigh like 85 pounds, just wafting in. Hi, everybody.
Did you have your Comic-Con badge hanging just, from your neck as well?
My big V card hanging. Hey, yeah. Guys, how's it going? And then, yeah, just went in there and I cheated. I went on a website and I looked up what kind of questions they ask in the interview, and I studied and I thought about the best possible answers for any of these questions they could ask me. And when I got in there, it was me and like three other middle-aged Hispanic people that could barely speak English. So it was in the bag the second I got in there.
You were no way going to get hired against that kind of a caliber of competition.
There was not a chance. It was like shooting fish in a barrel. And so I got in there
To shoot fish in a barrel.
I didn't get Jungle at first. They gave it to me, and then they said, "You're not 18, you can't
do a ride.
You can't do a ride." But I had graduated high school, and so I begged and pleaded. I drove up there, begged and pleaded, and they said, "You're a liberated minor. Come on in." And
so they're like their own kind of court system. They can decide that kind of thing.
Well, apparently that's just the law.
Oh, okay.
Everywhere.
You have a car.
You have a car. I graduated.
Okay.
I can go anywhere.
Yeah.
So anywhere I want, Joey.
Yes. So I went to Anaheim.
I drove an hour away.
Not to Vegas.
Nope.
Or Mexico.
The world is my oyster.
My first job was at a toy store but near my house, Playco Toys. It doesn't exist anymore. And it was a fun job, but I was going to community college at the time and just not doing anything at all. And someone in one of my classes suggested I work at Disneyland. I never even thought about it. I didn't, not like Trevor, where I dreamed about it forever. I just, it was never, it was more like never a possibility. It was just, yeah, Disneyland's an awesome place. I like going there. I have an annual pass, but I don't think I'm ever going to work there. But I just went up kind of on a whim and I got parking lot. They put me in the parking lot. So I did that for a year. I was on the back of the tram doing the spiel. This was before the recorded spiel, 1999, when we were talking about California Adventure opening up. So we'd spiel about, hey, look behind this giant green fence. There's going to be this awesome theme park over there.
Clearly not knowing what's
clearly not seeing
ahead.
Any concept plans or any rides.
Blind faith.
Right.
Now, you know, Benny was also started in parking.
Yes.
Because parking was...
There's actually several skippers that I met. And still know from that first parking lot.
Part of the attractions, because there was a vehicle and there was a microphone,
mm-hmm.
and that made it part of the attractions concept back then.
Yeah, when I went to the interview for Jungle Cruise, to after a year, they said, you can transfer. He said, well, you know, you're good on the microphone, and that was the criteria. There was no other It wasn't like, do you enjoy mosquito bites or being out in the sun?
Or watching ducks mate.
Or ducks, yeah.
Were you there the year that the ducks just went on a massacre? Do you remember that?
You mean when the babies died?
When the male ducks murdered in the jungle.
Well, they had to get rid of the evidence.
Yeah.
Because that was the year that duck child support laws went into effect.
Oh,
that'll do it.
Disney, I saw that on Maury.
Yeah. And I have been trying to keep the theme of these podcasts very pro-Disney so
sure.
I don't get sued. But did you know that Disney ducks apparently have a very high rate of diabetes? The ducks in the park apparently are diabetic from the...
Is this like a setup? Or
no, this is a dead serious. They eat so
they're
much
eating
bread
popcorn
and
sugar. Test,
popcorn and
do they
churros?
Test the ducks for diabetes?
I don't
well,
know.
Maybe there's some kind of... Well, they have a
the ducks
a field
just get
and
woozy and pass
there.
Out.
Yeah, I don't know why, actually.
Hmm.
But yeah, randomness.
Interesting.
So you were, Trevor, you were there 01, 02?
Just 1 year.
And that was the best year of your life.
It felt like... A million years.
I did everything I needed to do in that 1 year. Well,
packed
I noticed people either stay there for a year or they stay there for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the year, I didn't want to be there for 5 years.
It's because they give you a pin.
Oh, yeah, you got to wait for the pin.
Oh.
So if you make it past one, you have to stay.
Right.
I got
why
a
not?
Pin after 1 year.
You get the year pin.
You get the year pin. And then I got blacklisted from Disney
right.
forever.
Yeah, and later.
Right.
Later.
That shall
right.
be discussed. So.
I worked there from 99 to 04, quit for a year, came back in 2005 to 06, another year. So 5 years total at
Jeez.
Disney. About three of it was Jungle Cruise. And some of that time was only Jungle Cruise, was my only attraction, working 40 hours a week on Jungle Cruise. It was my job. I went to college and... did also 40 hours at Jungle.
Now, I mean, with there having worked there, if there was a magic golden ticket that would allow you to work any attraction other than Jungle at either of the two parks and just walk in and say, this is where I'm working for the next year, I mean, regardless of money, where else would
right.
you want to work? Where's the other place in the park that would hold enough magic for you to drag you back into the fold?
I'd say the Haunted Mansion.
Really?
Mansion's
yeah.
very cool.
I think it's just a cool motif they got going on there.
Yeah.
That was always the dream, and until they landlocked us and we couldn't transfer between attractions, that was the only thing keeping me from getting Haunted Mansion was that I didn't want to leave Jungle, because I'd have to pick between the two.
Yep.
Hmm. I always kind of wanted to work monorail.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see.
Prestigious.
I always heard you can get those things up to like 60 miles
no,
an
that's
hour.
Not true.
No, it's not true.
No.
There's not a basketball court up on top of the Matterhorn? A full-size basketball court
you're getting
on top of the Matterhorn.
Which is where they hold the NCAA final.
This is
that's
true.
Right.
I've heard
so
that
so
somewhere.
That is a story.
That's in a documentary somewhere
it is.
I've seen.
So,
but yeah, monorail. But I wouldn't let people up in the front to sit with me because I don't want to talk to people if
right.
I'm in that. I just want to sit in a little bubble. But like the 50s one where the bubble for the driver sat on the top, so you had your little head poking
right.
out, right?
Yes.
Is that how it used
Why
to be?
Why don't you just drive like a bullet train then in real life?
Well, that requires like skill. Here, like people just assume you're qualified.
True.
But you're just some punk kid.
They just train you
training.
In 3 days. Yeah.
It's either flip burgers
bullet
or
trains,
drive.
They don't
yeah.
train you. There's no training at all in bullet trains. So it's,
oh,
I don't
think so. I think there's probably
think
some
incorrect.
Kind of school. So, I don't know.
So, and before we get, I mean, we're already deep into this, but allow me to say, LA traffic on the way down, fuck it in the face.
Mm-hmm.
That's really 2 hours from LA to Anaheim was just a ridiculous, unpleasant drive, but I was All worth right. coming down for this. The other thing, as I was driving down, I got to drive by Knott's.
Yeah.
Which apparently is another theme park.
Right.
I wasn't really aware, but they have this new ride called Windseeker.
Holy butts.
Have you seen that?
No, I haven't heard of this.
Okay,
no,
it's all of the spare parts from when they tore down the Malibomer and the Orange Stinger apparently have gone into a ride. It's a giant shaft rising out of the middle of Knott's Berry Farm.
I like where this is going.
You had me at shaft.
You had me at shaft.
With a bunch of spinning baskets around
Ooh.
The shaft.
It's taller than that drop ride.
Oh, my God. It's gigantic.
Stream?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow, that's tall.
It's very large, and... It actually apparently boasts the largest vomit radius of any attraction that's currently built, which I think is an amazing feet.
More than Joan Rivers. her vomit radius around her is pretty big.
I wouldn't call her an attraction.
It is somewhere in between.
There's nothing attractive.
There is something strangely attractive about Joan Rivers.
Stop.
No.
Stop.
It's like...
Stop talking.
You look at her...
Stop talking.
And you realize there used to be an attractive... It's like digging for fossils.
It's for the sexual archaeologist...
Okay. You're like, there used to be an attractive lady in there. Maybe I can peel away the layers.
You know, I will say, though, that, you know, for all of the joking that she has, A, she remains working. She has a paid gig, which, frankly, when I'm chasing a very aged cougar, a saber-toothed cougar, as they say.
Right.
I want
you might as
paycheck.
Well check that one,
I want a paycheck. But if you look at her early stand-up in the Carson days, you know, you look at... her writing her own stuff and the amazing comedy she did.
Yeah.
Nobody, Sarah Silverman wouldn't even be working today without Joan Rivers.
Right.
I mean, Margaret Cho, I mean, she is...
True.
She's...
Oh, yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she's the revolutionary behind it.
She's so smooth. The face is so smooth.
The skin is polished.
She kind of reminds me of that old show, DC Follies, with those puppets that played President.
It's like a nice leather chair, you know? You just
want
to curl up into
manicured.
It.
Like an albino leather chair.
It's nice. There's something about her that gets me going.
All right.
Where were we?
I don't know.
We're talking about shafts.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
So, but no, I look at this right, and I worked Malibomer at California Adventure for about 9 months. Never rode it because it scared the absolute crap out of me.
They had the vomit shields on it,
right? Yeah. And it was just, I could not ride that ride. So I look at this new one, and I just, there's no interest at all.
No, there's no way.
I'll do it right now.
No, you're nuts. There's like...
That thing's like 500 feet in the air and spinning.
Doesn't scare me. I was up at Great America, Paramount Great America, up in San Jose, and they had like a Supreme Scream there. It's the exact same ride. But some kid just fell out of it.
Oh.
He just like wriggled. I mean, I think he may have been like retarded or... Because, you know, they're really strong, and he like wriggled his way out of the seat and just fell. Nobody told him, don't do that, because you'll fall.
And there's the first part that really probably should be edited out of this one. But that's okay. That's the Trevor seal of approval.
Hey.
No,
get it out of your system.
I went there when it was Marriott.
That's literally what happened.
Marriott's Great America, and I was 7 or 8. And they have a roller coaster called The Demon.
Okay.
Which, to this day, this would be 32-ish years after we went. I still remember that it was a 13-story drop into a double corkscrew. And my father put me in the line knowing that I was just at the height requirement and then chickened out after I was loaded into the vehicle.
Your dad chickened out.
Stood there waving as I plummeted 13 stories into a double corkscrew and have since had a horrible fear of roller coasters.
I would do it.
And fathers.
And fathers.
Yeah.
Yes.
And my father.
And any father.
So that's the fun.
So we worked at Disneyland.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I think. I don't remember.
There was something in that.
There's something about that. What should we talk about now? Great it was?
Well, you know, and I do like to bring up magical moments and special times that we may have had, you know, together, naked in boats.
Mm-hmm.
And they were special and magical times.
And then we worked at the Jungle Cruise.
That's right.
Yes.
What a terrible joke.
I remember the first time I met you was, like, the shuttles were kind of like a magical time for Jungle Cruise skippers because you're all together and it's late and you're tired.
You mean the shuttle that goes from the parking lot to Disneyland?
Yeah, the employee parking lot to Disneyland.
No, the shuttle going to the Enterprise, Joey.
That one.
That shuttle. Because anyone who's listening to this, the 3.5 people who are listening to this podcast, may have been confused as to what a shuttle was.
Kyle, they might have just tuned in and thought we were talking about badminton.
Yes.
And thought we were talking about shuttles.
That would be a shuttlecock.
Shuttlecocks.
Which many of the Jungle Cruise skippers were when they were on the shuttles.
It's true.
Yes,
we were. We used to do, the first time I met you, I remember I just started and I was terrified of everybody. And it was the first time people were talking to me. And somehow it came up that I could do a Mad Hatter impersonation.
Oh, yes.
And so I
remember
said,
this moment.
I yelled from the back of the bus, like, bus driver, turn this bus around! As loud as I could. And everybody looked and they were all like stunned. And you turned around like slowly. You were right in front of me. You're like, that is the worst Mad Hatter impersonation I've ever heard in my life.
I'm one of those people that I think I can do voices pretty well, and when someone else does a voice, I know I can do it better. I know I can do it better than them, but I do remember that moment. And then
you're one of the few people I remember the first moment I met them.
Yeah.
At Jungle.
But you, Trevor, I don't think I have that moment. I exist in my brain, but other than that, I remember you. You used to do this other voice on the shuttle that would involved like a little baby voice, but the baby was drunk. And so you would have this little conversation with some like an invisible thing, like a string or something. Are you talking about your genitals?
My genitalia.
No, it was not that.
Okay.
That happened later, but
that was in Vegas.
You were like, you would like go like, "Hey, I sure am drunk now."
Oh, yeah.
That's the earliest memory I have.
My favorite thing to do on the shuttle was there would be two of us. And I would get on the cell phone. I'd have, like, whoever was sitting next to me call my cell phone so it would ring, and I'd pick it up, and I'd go, like, "Hello?" I'd get really sad, like, oh my God, is she okay? Oh, my God. I'd just get really, like, I'd sell it to where everybody's listening. You can
right.
tell. You can just feel how everybody's listening.
Right.
Like, "Oh, thank you so much for calling," and I'd hang up the phone, and my friend
would "Trevor, are you okay?"
My grandma just died.
Are you serious? Really?
Yeah, she just died. It's sad. I was supposed to kill her today. And it would just be silence on the shuttle. Good times.
So, as you can see,
I had the most morbid sense of humor.
Yeah. It was... The humor at the Jungle Cruise is based on the other people that are working there at the time. So, in my experience, I was just trying to impress the other people that were on the dock when I came in to unload my boat. So I'd like to make the guests laugh, and I did a good tour. But when you get back to the dock,
it's all about impressing.
Trevor might be there. Adam might be there.
And that's why I think the unload jokes were the point in which I got myself in the most trouble.
Yes, definitely.
And most of the other skip, because it was the point when there were other people around who you had to work with.
Right.
And you had to impress.
And who knew that you could laugh about this later.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And in the case of women, you had to alienate any of the female skippers with your sense of humor to make sure that there was no chance they would look at you as a viable, you know, dating category.
Right.
Because that would be awful.
Exactly.
Because don't date... I actually thought about opening up, doing a Disney dating website. Actually pairing people, I think, like OkCupid for Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And yet another one of my...
You have to
not
work there,
successful,
though? Yeah.
Yeah. I have a lot of not successful podcasts, for example, maybe added to that list, but...
I'm sorry.
No, I was saying I ran a website that went out of business during the tech boom, a dating site for the Amish, for online. Just didn't really pan out for some reason.
I don't know. That would seem like a slam dunk to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they all have just 3G. They don't have 4G.
2G.
Right.
I remember, speaking of unload, going back to unload.
Yes.
I remember Skipper Ritt used to do this one bit where he would, subsequently a lot of us stole it, where if you have a really good boat, like a great boat, you stop right at Trader Sam's and you say, "All right, you guys have been awesome. Let's have a little fun here. I'm going to, when we pull up to the dock and stop the boat, I'm going to say something crazy. And after I say it, I want all of you to stand up and applaud and go nuts. Like it's the greatest thing you've ever heard." And so everybody, "Okay, yeah, sure." And then you drive up to the dock, you pull in, and then he would go like, "And that's why I think, despite our best efforts, fascism is making a comeback."
Yay!
People would go nuts. Did that a couple of times, and management was on the dock when it happened. But they like, "Oh my gosh!"
Yeah,
people
I guess
love
they love it.
Boat.
They agree.
Yeah.
They're standing.
Ladies,
yes,
please.
Okay, my microphone may not be that sensitive.
Oh,
so.
Then they just heard me say "ladies" for no
reason. There's attractive women yelling at us,
making spring break noises.
They heard the two of you were going to be here. So.
Oh, really?
I remember the great unload. Thanks, folks. You know, this ride reminds me of the famous last words of my great-grandfather, who said to me, Why is that pillow over my face? No! No! Stop!
That's like my favorite deep thought, which is the I want to go in my sleep like my grandma, not screaming like the people in his car.
Right, right.
You know, he still has a website, and he still posts new deep thoughts on a daily basis.
I didn't know it was an actual guy.
Yeah, he's Jack real. Handy. Mm-hmm. Which, because frankly, with a last name like Handy, there's not a lot of things you can go into besides comedy.
Right. Tools.
Moisturizers.
Plumbing.
I was thinking of ham.
Hamburger Handy. Helper.
It's not even close.
Hamburger
Helper. No. This is a dead path we're going on.
That'll be edited out.
Yes. or black
so stuff. Yeah, basically the
or that one time Skipper Ritt, he put on a person's clothing, like a passenger's jacket and hat.
Yes.
And he sat next to everybody and kind of like half throttled it, and the boat kind of drifted into the dock, and there was no skipper on it, so people like freaked out and grabbed the boat and stopped it.
Right.
And then he got up and left the boat
with the other
with the guests.
We unloaded them all one by one. And it was empty. Where's Ritt? He's not here. Where did he go? 15 minutes later, he walks up from the exit. Hey guys, how's it going? Oh, you got us.
Yeah, I really think that the majority, that it really sometimes was a miracle we didn't get fired more often or regularly.
Right, we were really in it for ourselves at that point.
Yeah,
we were just entertaining ourselves and using the Jungle Cruise as a tool to explore our own comedy and our own...
But having said that, I don't think there were people who were... I think that people still had the best interests of the jungle.
Yeah. I wasn't taking advantage of the situation. I was taking advantage of it.
We weren't like doing my girlfriend's a bitch, man.
Right.
No. It was Disney appropriate. It maybe just was a little...
On the edge.
Yeah, pushing the... Pushing...
Well, it seemed like there was always two trains of thought, like two people. There was one where it was... The jungle is the show, and you have to stay in the 1930s.
Right.
You can't say anything outside of the 30s.
Right.
And you're not supposed to be the show.
Right.
And then there was other people that was like, no, this is not as entertaining. Like, if you just hit the throttle forward and said nothing, which, you know, you did sometimes.
Yeah.
It was a very boring ride.
Yeah.
It's cool, but...
It'd be cool if you've never seen it before and you lived in... some country that doesn't have water.
Technology.
Or jungle.
And it's that strange conundrum that, you know, guest compliments are not, you know, you don't have the flow of guest compliments when the person is doing the same line that's been around for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people who wrote the guest compliments were the guests who came, annual pass holders, who would come in at night. And when they would hear something different...
Right, they got a special experience.
Yeah, you know, the worst guest compliment to get was, I've never heard any of those jokes before, because that went straight to management.
Right.
We came downstairs and were like,
oh, yeah.
Really?
He said something about Justin Bieber.
Luckily.
Oh,
damn.
Dang it.
I remember my favorite night at Jungle was me and you were working the unload dock.
Yep.
And Skipper, I won't even say her name. In case she still works. I don't even know if she works there still. But she was lead. He or she was lead. Good cover, right?
And, no.
And it was so dead that we got two tow ropes and linked them together and swung them over the second story. So we had a swinging rope.
Like a Tarzan rope.
And we did unload jokes where like the boat would pull up and we'd be like, hey, get a light on down here. And they'd shine the spotlight on us and the boat would come in like, no, back up, back up. And you had a barrel. You'd taken a barrel and put it on its side, and you were rolling it
like
towards the boat like the boulder in Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
And people loved it.
I mean, there's the paradox. Are you there to entertain them, or are you there to just be a part of the show? It's like when you listen to Led Zeppelin. Is his voice... Is he just supposed to be a part of the band, or is he above the band? You know what I mean? Like the Doors, like Jim Morrison, his voice kind of overshadows the music.
Gotcha.
So you're saying that we were kind of like rock star gods in the 1960s.
I like that.
And the supporting cast, which would be the boats and the animals.
Yes.
Were basically like the backup.
They were the E Street Band.
Yeah,
I'm saying, like, if there's this paradox of I want to keep my job, and I like working here, but I want to have as much. I want to preserve the magic because I do love Disney. I love Disneyland. It was never about ruining anything or ruining someone's day. It was about improving the day. And if I could do that by slowly poking away at some of the facades of Disneyland and saying, like, you know, Indiana Jones and the Temple of the 4-Hour Line. That's a joke that's not a part in the script, but it pokes at the world that they're in. And I think that's the point of the Jungle Cruise. I honestly do.
I always liked the joke coming out of, like, when you came up to Indiana Jones. In fact, they put up bamboo because we were so ruthless to people walking out of Indiana Jones.
They blocked it from our comedy view.
But we'd still yell at them.
Yeah.
I remember there was the joke, this is the world's most popular bathroom.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, the world's most popular
bathroom. And you
say,
how is it in there?
How
and
was
they
it?
Say, it's great. Well, there was a big boulder.
I had one guy, like, how was it? And he turns, he's like, I pissed my pants.
So apparently not.
The setup was
he had no idea.
Worse than actually.
He was
than
so
joke.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what it was because there was a joke that had gone around, and I want to say it was OG at some point, but I mean it was about about monkeys.
Oh yes.
Oh, the monkeys.
Look at how they
there.
Go
was
in
a,
groups.
There was an African American family who didn't really get the humor in that.
Of course.
When over a PA, someone was calling them a bunch of monkeys over there dancing. Maybe that was where that changed a little bit.
Well, that person's clearly an idiot.
Yes.
Because why would you look? Oh, there's some African Americans. I'm going to refer to them as monkeys. This will go well.
When I'm in
it's
a
in the script.
And I have a name tag.
Yeah.
Please come find me at my home.
It's written in large, bold font.
The only you remember this from the summer we were working. I would get a from the water pitcher, I would get a mouthful of water and get on my hands and knees.
That was a great joke.
In front of the boat
as
it was coming in. And as it came in, I would squirt like the squirter with a stream of water coming out of my mouth.
I do remember that.
And it was the only thing I ever got a guest complaint about.
Really?
Was because I was spitting at the guests, and that was apparently a bad... Which, you know, it's okay when
a dirty,
a
smelly animal
dirty,
can
smelly
do
animal
it.
Does it. Or the elephant.
But when it's a one-ton dirty animal.
That's right.
Hey, did you just call me fat?
Second.
We used to do the same exact kind of joke, but it was you'd put clean water in your mouth, and then you'd bend over the dock, and you'd lap water into your face like you were drinking it.
Look like you're drinking it,
and they'd yell at you like, Trevor, don't drink that, and you'd spit it out. Oh, it looks so good.
Right, right.
I remember
seeing... Or you'd swap the cup.
Yeah.
You'd have a second cup, and you'd swap it.
And spit it.
I remember seeing kids drinking that water when they'd come around the corner. They'd always be like a kid once a day lapping it up.
Yeah, dunking their hands in
what
and licking
their
fingers.
What about that makes you think... This
it's
is
green.
Gonna be delicious.
It might be lime flavored.
Ecto Cooler.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember Ecto Cooler.
Yeah.
That was delicious. No one
days.
Else remembers.
No.
No, I mean, that's it. We are the
last three.
Three guys who do.
I don't think anyone
when
else.
When we die,
born.
That knowledge dies with us. Because
we were the only three alive that decade.
We have to hide it in a cave somewhere, like Aristotle did.
He hid Ecto Cooler in
a
cave.
I mean, Archimedes. Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Archimedes hid all his secrets in a cave so that Leonardo da Vinci could come get them later.
Is that a?
It's from a movie.
Is that a gay reference?
No, not at all.
It is secrets
it's from
in a
movie.
Cave. What movie?
It's called Quest of the Delta Knights.
What? No, you're
it's real.
That
totally
that
real.
A real movie?
Totally real.
Is that from the '80s? Like
no, it's actually 1996, and it was on Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I'll stop
sense.
There.
So someone else already made fun of it,
and I just
and
copied
you're just
them
because
I
right.
love them. I
yes.
just love them.
But somewhere there's a producer who was like, my movie got mentioned.
Exactly.
The first time in 3 years
he's
that movie's
sitting
been
in
mentioned.
A hot tub with a cigar.
He's yelling at his wife, his broken down wife.
Right.
You see that, honey? I was right.
Somebody liked it.
I could have been married to Joan Rivers.
I could have.
That's right. That leathery sack all over.
So many places to hide money. Crevices.
Oh, someone's going to skin her when she dies
her
and
money
actually
crevices.
Make a chair out of her.
Yeah. I bet it's probably like your lungs, where it's the size of a tennis court when you spread it all out.
It's just like an interesting fact.
Yeah.
Your left
you
cheek
know.
Will stretch across Texas. Little did you know.
Bum, 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 bum. The more you know.
She's actually been dead for 15 years.
Inside.
Her shell hasn't...
Right. She's inflated like Judge Doom on Roger Rabbit. She just inflates herself back up. Oh, she was in that ride, wasn't she? Oh, she was in Superstar Limo.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was actually a puppet. Hard to tell the difference between a latex puppet and Joan Rivers.
On her days off, she would just stand in.
That was actually her face. She just lifted it off her body like Darth Vader. What was that?
A copyrighted sound effect off of my phone.
Don't bring a soundboard to a podcast.
I turned off my, you saw me turn
this
off my phone.
This isn't a morning
radio
show.
You saw me turn it off.
Well, there we go. That's the end of the first half of our fun times with Joey and Trevor. That's what we're going to call our new Nickelodeon sitcom, Fun Times with Joey and Trevor. Second half will be dropping on the 30th of September, so make sure you check back in a week. And I hope you guys are having a great time out there in internet land. Have a great night. We'll talk to you guys soon, and Kungaloosh.